His presence is really amazing. And just play that again. There's something supernatural here this morning that we need to just pay attention to. So oftentimes we get in a hurry. We need to just be patient and wait when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. His presence is everything in our lives. It's not something, it's everything. Our encounter with God must not be an event, a one-time event. Our encounter with God must be a daily event. As we pursue the presence of God, and we make known His presence in the earth. The only way to make known His presence in the earth is for us to have an encounter with Him and our daily walk with God, so that we leak, that we pour out, to carry His presence. That's what we are. We're carriers of the presence of God. And too oftentimes, the presence of God is the event of Sunday morning or a worship service that we go to. I don't know that I've ever said this before, but some reason we seek places to go, and I'm not saying that that is wrong, to seek places to go for church services. You know, some people get really fired up for God, and they'll seek places to go, and they'll try to find a place to go, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we seek places to go is because we go to the presence of God instead of carry the presence of God. And then we have some bad theology, and I'm going to speak into that for just a moment. Some of our bad theology is that if we're having a bad day, or we've not done everything that we're supposed to do, that our life has got a little mess in it, that God's not there and He don't show up. That's bad theology. Because if that was the case, some of us would, I would be in trouble. Because I have some bad days. And I don't want to take on the theology that in my bad day, God doesn't show up. Because that's when I need God. I need His presence more then than ever before. And so if we got up in the morning, we just welcomed His presence. Like today, God, I just welcome Your presence in my life. We don't know how the day is going to unfold, maybe. We don't know the turn of events that will happen in our life. We don't know the phone call we might get or the situation we might bump into. But if we've already invited His presence, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter how bad the day gets, because with the invitation of His presence, He supplies. Doesn't necessarily mean that we won't have a bad day, but He supplies what we need for that situation. And look, I don't want you to think that I'm not about church, because I'm about church. But I'm more about being the church. And I love the house of God, and I love prayer on Monday night, and I love when we come together and we worship. And today the presence of God has been so awesome in this house. And quite frankly, I'll be honest with you, after the week that I've had, I've needed His presence to be so awesome this morning. Come on. I needed His presence to be beautiful. But you know what? When I walked in this place today, I didn't have to get in His presence, because I live in His presence. And I can't get this out of my mind. I can't get this out of my spirit. when Heather said in the first service that we've made his presence a roommate and not a partner. We've made the Holy Spirit a roommate that's in the other room. He dwells in the same place, but he's not connected. He's not been invited to that place where you would invite a partner, into a place of intimacy, where something is birthed in the Holy Spirit through a place of intimacy, because you've been said, no, I don't just have a roommate, but I have a partner in the Holy Spirit. And the Word says he's called us to sit in heavenly places, and he's called us into co-laboring with him. And we share, not just in the struggle of life, but we share in the glory and the goodness of life. It's both and. So that he's with me all the time. And so oftentimes our concept of presence is just rescue me from the mess I'm in. And that's good, because he does. But he really wants to be a habitation, not a visitation. And everything about our life is about him. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, it's about him. It's about him. His goodness is forever. His mercy is forever. His joy is forever. His peace is forever. His love is forever. And if we can learn to just wrap our arms around his presence and say, come on, come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. I want you right here, right now, all the time, walking with me. And look, I'm not being prophetic here this morning. I just know that this is a very general statement that I'm about to make. In this house, there's problems in your life. There's financial problems. There's marriage problems. There's sickness problems. There's family problems. There's all of these things we go through in life. In all of the situations of life that we walk through, there's only one thing that I can tell you is guaranteed. And that's his presence. It will heal. Look, I'm not against doctors. I'm not against counselors. I'm not against nurses. I'm not against Young Living or carrot juice. I'm just telling you that none of those things can do what one moment in the presence of God can do. None of those things can change your life like one moment of his holy anointing that takes whatever we're walking through, and he lifts us out of that place, and his glory carries us. It carries us. His anointing carries us. His peace carries us. I learned a long time ago that it's only in the presence of God do I find real peace. If you're in this world, you're living in this mortal body, you got troubles. The Bible says you will have. He said, you're born of woman but a few days, and your life is full of trouble. Now, we could just stop right there and just have depression all over the house. That's not a very encouraging scripture. But I got the solution to your life that's full of trouble. It's presence. Revelation of this word comes through his presence. The Bible says the letter killeth, but the spirit, the presence of God, brings life. If I read this, it's just as a textbook. It's just put it on the stack of the other literature that I have. But if I read this with the anointing of His presence, it becomes a living word and it becomes revelation. It begins to change the way I think. And I'm going to say something here today, and I just want you to listen to me. And I'm not being condemning at all. Some of you walk through the same storms because you've never learned to walk in the presence of God. And you come through the same place over and over again. I'm giving you the answer today. I'm giving you the key to unlock the supernatural in your life. Don't try to do this without His presence. You'll always come back to the place of starting over. But when you learn how to let Him lead and you learn His presence, you will then learn how to follow peace. And when you learn how to follow peace, you will not recycle. You'll learn and you'll move on. I'm not saying there won't be a new storm, but it won't be the same storm. That's a good word. It'll heal things that nothing else will heal. It'll rescue you when nothing else rescues you. It'll speak to you when nothing else is speaking. It'll remove the clouds over your life in a moment. His presence is everything. The last few weeks we've been talking about being faithful, obedient servants of God. And I want to just tie this whole thing in and about being a faithful, obedient servant of God. And I actually made a statement that I feel like the Holy Spirit made a statement in the first service, and I asked someone to write it down. And of course, Audrey always takes care of me. Way to go, girl. I thank God for the Holy Spirit and Audrey. This is so powerful, and I'm not saying this, God's saying this, so listen. The same presence and the same word we receive to pour out with, sometimes we try to serve out of nothing and becomes work. And when we serve out of the overflow of the presence, it's pleasure. Before I ever talk about serving today, I want us to get this part. I'm gonna say it again. The same presence and word we receive, we pour out with. What we take in, we pour out with. And when we try to pour out without having nothing, it becomes, we serve out of our flesh, it becomes work. So whatever God's called you to do, even though it's His call and His purpose on your life, it can become work if you don't know how to soak in His presence. But when we learn how to, it comes out of our overflow of His presence, it becomes pleasure. Now, none of you mamas have ever held a baby in your hand and said, man, this baby is just too much work. Because that's something, the gift that God's put in your hand. When it's work, you recognize out of the moment, like, hey, this gift that God has given me is worth the work, because it's the pleasure of knowing that God birthed this in me. And when you come, when you do whatever you're called to do out of that place of birthing something, you carry that, and that thing does not become work to you, but it becomes worship. We serve out of the presence and authority and worship, and we're filled up again and we just pour out, and we're filled up again and we just pour out, and we're filled up again and we just pour out. And every day of our life, we wake up with this attitude of worship that we're saying, God, fill me up, because I have found great pleasure in being poured out. I'm just going to tell you something. It's addictive. To be filled up and to be poured out, It's an addiction to be in His presence and sense His presence, and you can't wait to get there again. You can't wait to live in that. You know that that is sustainable when nothing else is. And you just love His presence, but you love it when you get to pour it out. It's so good. So today, as I talk about serving, I want to establish that as our ground. And how are you feeling? Can you stay with me? Come on. All right, you've been up here a long time. I just need a little psalmist today. I'm going to take you to Matthew 20, and I'm going to give you a little background, paraphrasing the first parts of this scripture. The wife of Zebedee was approaching Jesus, and she's saying, "Hey, I want you to take my two sons, and I want them to be real important in the kingdom of God. And I'm asking you for a favor. Can you put one on your right and one on your left? And I want them to be important in this kingdom thing." And Jesus replied and says to them, and he said, "Hey, I don't think you know what you're asking. Because what I'm about to do, I don't think you will be willing to do. I'm about to drink from this bitter cup. I'm about to die on the cross. And I'm not really sure you want to do that." Of course, at that moment before the cross, they were like, "Yeah, we'll do whatever. We'll go, God. We're in. We're all in. We'll die." And we know the story. At the time of the cross, everybody split. Jesus already knew that. There's only John stood there, you know. Everybody else ran. But Jesus made a statement. He said, "Look, it's not my authority to decide who's in this kingdom thing. It's God's, Father God's authority." But then he goes on to say, and this is where we're going to pick up the passage of Scripture in 26. You can bring that up. But he said, "This is not your calling. This is not your calling. It's not your calling to be in this hierarchy of the kingdom of God. That's not your purpose. That's not what we're here to do." You'll be led by a completely different model. The greatest one among you will live as the one who is called to serve others. If you want to know what greatness is when you serve somebody else. That's how you're going to know who's the greatest one among you. Not the one who sits on the right or the one on the left. Not the one who gets the brand. Not the one who gets the cap. Not the one who gets the badge. Not the one who stands on the platform. Not the one who sings in the choir. Not the one who's been given a position or a title. But the one who serves. Because the greatest honor and authority is reserved for the one with the heart of a servant. For even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served by everyone, but to serve everyone and to give His life in exchange for the salvation of many. For even the Son of Man, we read that one, didn't we? For even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served by everyone, but to serve everyone, to give His life in exchange for the salvation of many. Is that all? We didn't come to be served. You know, we live in a society that's so entitled. I mean, and I'm just talking about, I know we always pick on the millennials. I'm not just talking about the millennials. I'm talking about some of you gray hair folk too. We live in an entitlement society of what's in this for me? What do I get out of this? How am I going to be rewarded for what I do? Who's going to pat me on the back and say, "Here's your trophy. You did a great job"? As a matter of fact, I'm concerned about the next generation that's coming up, even behind this generation, because we've given everybody a trophy. I know this is not politically correct, but we've given the losers a trophy who didn't work for it, who didn't put in the time, who didn't give it their best. Let's make everybody feel good. And so we have this entitlement thing, and everybody wants to sit at the right hand, the left hand, and everybody wants to, you know, be crowned. But Jesus said the one who's crowned is the one who has the heart of a servant, who's willing to pick up the pieces, who's willing to go the extra mile, who's willing to give their life. And to understand that the heart of a servant really doesn't come out of us doing all the work as much as it does come, is what we've talked about today, is coming out of the place of presence where we are living in this pleasure of serving people. It's a good thing. It's a phenomenal thing. It's just, I can't hardly wait to see what God's going to use me in and who I get to serve next, because I have this heart of the Father. Last week, one of the greatest heroes of our day passed away, Billy Graham. And we've seen the pictures of him with preaching to thousands and thousands and thousands. But if you dig a little deeper and you know his story, which I've read his story many times, he's one of the heroes of the faith that has lived in my day that I've admired probably more than any, because of his humility. But you find him serving a bowl of soup to the homeless and the broken. But then he finds another place that he served, and the fruit of that is obvious when you see his children, grandchildren, and great grandchildren, is how he served his family. But before he served all of them, he served his God. And he served his God first and foremost in everything and every part of his life. His life was honorable. His life was honorable before God and before man. Presidents could not even turn him away. Maybe their belief system was different, but they needed his wisdom. They loved him to come and speak into their life. Why? Because he carried the presence of God. Another one of my favorite heroes is Mother Teresa, and I love her because she didn't. Many times she was asked the question, "Are you going to save the world?" She goes, "No, I'm going to save the one, and every one I save, one by one, I'll save the world." So much of our church life in America today is about the big congregation and the saving the many, and I'm not against that. I think we sometimes, God gives us this opportunity to throw the net out. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus, when he told us to go make disciples, it was saving the one. It was saving the one. And when we learn to serve the one and say, "Well, who do I serve?" The person in front of you. The scripture said it clearly like this. He said, "Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with all your heart." What's in front of you, that's who you serve. It's not really that hard. It's not rocket science. So we start with our families, and we start with those around us, and we start with all that. But our heart, it comes out of this heart of thanksgiving that we have, and we've spent time with God. And serving is something that should be something that we don't necessarily have to give a whole lot of thought to, because it becomes our nature. You know, I know that I make a decision every morning to get up and brush my teeth. I realize that I have to have a thought process to, like, okay, brush your teeth. I understand that. But I don't get up every day and have a discussion with myself. Should I brush or should I not brush? It's become part of my everyday routine. It's part of my life. And the thought process is just the everyday process of, this is what I do. This is what I do. And our serving should be the same with our life of serving the world around us. It's not that I, oh, should I or should I not do, can I or can I not? But in every part of our life and every avenue of our life, starting with our families and at our workplaces and everywhere we go, is our heart to see and to look and to be aware around us and let the Holy Spirit that's in us flow through us, that we just serve. and it's nothing wrong with having those days that we have serve days and we go out in the community and maybe we pick up trash or maybe we serve the poor or we have our Thanksgiving Servolution or whatever it is that we do. Those are great things, but I'm asking you this question. Out of the work of the Holy Spirit that's in our life, do we just serve out of the goodness of God? It makes us uncomfortable to get out of our little comfort zones. And uncomfortable sometimes to even put people in our car or in our house or in our life. But it's the work of the Lord. Aren't you glad that He got uncomfortable for us? He got uncomfortable for us. It was an uncomfortable situation. How can we say that we love someone and we don't serve? Well, I love people. Really? Do you? If we really love people, then we serve people. I was riding the car yesterday with the director at the funeral home. And we've got to be pretty good friends over the last few days. And he said to me, he said, you know, I really love your heart. And he was talking about it. He said, so many pastors come through here. He said, they get in the car and they're complaining and fussing and griping and they just don't like people. He said, they should get out of the business of being a pastor. I said, man, you took the words out of my mouth, you know, because we're in the people business. If you don't love people, go, you know, go be a trash man. You don't have to talk to nobody. Go work on the top of a mountain or be a scuba diver. You don't have to deal with anyone. But all of us truly, truly, all of us are in the people business. And when we really love like He called us to love, you don't have to have the personality that I have that just don't meet a stranger, but there has to be a love in your heart for people around you. That when you can say, God, your presence is so powerful in my life. I desire. It's a must in my life to love people. And sometimes it's difficult to love people. And in this room today, there's nobody sitting in this room today, not a single person sitting in this room today that hasn't been hurt by somebody. Nobody. If you've been married or if you have kids or if you have siblings or we all have some kind of family unit, or if you go to a church or you work on a job or you're around people, you have been offended by somebody. And guess what? You've offended someone too, by the way. And in this people world that we live in, there are all these things that we have to overcome. But let me just give you some scripture today, what the Lord said about that. And man, I'm just going to tell you before I even read this, this don't even feel right. To my natural man, I'm like, what? Seriously? You really don't require this of me, God. Well, let's read Luke 6. But if you will listen, I say to you, love your enemies and do something wonderful for them in return for their hatred. Now that just don't taste right. And when someone curses you, bless that person in return. And when you are mistreated and harassed by others, accept it as your mission to pray for them. Oh yeah, come on. Yeah, Lord bless them. Lord bless them. Lord bless them. Lord bless them. You might have to say that a few times before you actually get in the spirit. Lord bless them. Lord, I want you to bless them. And in your mind, you may be saying, Lord, kill them. Lord, take them out. But if you'll just kind of get in the spirit, in the presence of God, you'll start saying, Lord, bless them. Lord, I bless them like you bless me. Bless them like you've loved me. Even when I've turned my back on you, Lord, even when I've failed, God, even when I've stumbled, Lord, Lord, just bless them like you've blessed me. Lord, let me love them like you've loved me. Lord, let me be willing to go to the cross for them. Lord, strengthen me that I may love them. Now, it's not your natural man to say that. It has to be the presence of God in you to pray that prayer. It has to be His holy anointing that rests upon you. To those who despise you, continue to serve them and minister to them. How am I supposed to do that, God? That person that stabbed me in the back, that talked about me, that lied about me, that misused my name, that spoke evil against me, that said things I didn't say. They mistreated me. They took my heart. They threw it down. They stepped on it, God. How can I ever serve them? How can I ever serve them? It's so hard to reach and pull the knife out of your back and pick up a towel and a basin of water, but Jesus did it and washed the very feet of Judas. And he knew beforehand that he was going to take him out, but yet his heart and his love superseded. Well, let's remember, he was a man just like we are. He was tempted in all points. He understood in his humanity, I'm about to get taken out by this guy. He told Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to curse my name. But there comes that moment that we say, God, I'm going to pull the knife out of my back and I'm going to lay it on the altar and I'm going to pick up the towel and the basin, and out of the work of the Holy Spirit in my life in the presence of God, I'm going to love this person. I'm going to serve them. I'm going to serve them. And listen, there's been times, I'm going to be honest with you, there's been times I said, Lord, I'm going to serve them and make them wish they'd have never been mean to me. I'm gonna love them so bad that they're gonna be like, what is wrong with that guy? You gotta serve them out of the goodness of God. And people's asked me over and over, say, how, Pastor, how did you love people? I said, because I look at the cross and I look at what Jesus did for me. And there's times that I don't want to. There's days, I'm not gonna lie to you, there are days that I just wanna break somebody's neck. Come on, I know none of y'all want to do that. Y'all all spiritual. But there are days that I'd like to get a hold of them and just slap them around really good. Come on. That's real. And if you're saying you don't ever feel that way, I'm praying for you, because there's something wrong with you. But that's not a sin for that to happen. The scripture says for us to be angry and sin not. But then he gives us instructions how to turn that around by saying, hey, when they despise you, when they hate you, when they speak all manner of evil against you, you know what you do? You just bless them. When that boss is just wearing you out, start praying for God to give him a promotion. Come on, God, bless him. Move him to another state in Jesus' name. Give him a raise. Bless him, Lord. But don't curse him. Because if you start cursing him, you're going to end up with that curse. Come on. Start blessing him. Come on. I bless him. I bless him, God. I bless him, God. I bless him. I bless him. Oh, Jesus, I'm preaching better than your amen. If someone takes away your coat, give him a gift of your shirt as well. When someone comes to beg from you, give to that person what you have. When things are wrongly taken from you, don't demand them to give them back. However you wish for people to treat you, treat people that way. And if you've never offended anyone in your life, God bless you. I understand why you're hurt when you're offended. But if you've ever offended someone and you wanted someone to give you mercy, please give them mercy. Serve them. Serve them. Worship team, you can come. I remember a time in my life when there were situations that were uncomfortable, and I have, you know, I've had to go back in my life and apologize to people. I mean, I know most of y'all won't believe this, but Pastor got a little temper on him too, and I can lose it. And there's times when I've lost it, and some of you have experienced it. And I had to go back and say, hey man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Don't ever be too good to say I'm wrong. Don't ever be too good to say, look, man, look, I wasn't right. The way I handled that wasn't right. That situation wasn't right. I'm sorry. Because that's how I want people to handle me. It's funny how we say, that person needs to tell me they're sorry. I was pastoring, I was speaking to a pastor one time, and I said, listen, sir, you need to get a basin of water and you need to go wash the feet of these people that you're angry with. And he said to me, hey, no, I'm the pastor. They need to come apologize to me. I said, whoa, whoa. Let me give you a little story. When the prodigal son came home, the dad didn't say, hey, punk. Hey, you. Hey, I done gave you all your stuff. What you coming back here for? Hey, you've already wasted your substance. You've already wasted your inheritance. You don't come back here for more. What are you doing? I gave you your stuff. I'm done with you. No, he was standing on the front porch with an eager heart. He was standing on the front porch. He had already long forgiven the son. When the son walked out the door, he had already forgiven the son. And he was standing on the front porch and he was saying, hey, I got a robe, son. He called for the servants. Come on, go kill the best calf we got. It's time to party down. My son has come home. We're going to kill the fatted calf. We're going to dance. We're going to sing. Wait, the story's not over. Then here's the big brother. Why you gonna kill a calf for him? I've been right here serving this whole time. I'm the one that never left, Dad. I'm offended that you love this worthless piece of humanity that took the very inheritance of our life and squandered it. I'm so angry, Dad, that you would do that. And I love the father's heart. Hey, you missed it. You're getting mad over something. You've been right here in the presence of the Father the whole time. But while you're sitting in the presence, you're missing the purpose. We can sit in the presence of God week after week and miss the purpose of God if we don't have a right heart and a right attitude. And if we don't love people and we don't care about people. But when we say, hey, what we ought to do is say, hey, Dad, I'm with you. Come on, brother. Come on, you can, here, I know you've been gone. Look, you can have my bed. You can have my chair. I'll share the part of my inheritance with you. The part that you squat, it's okay. I'm going to give you part of mine. And all of that's birthed out of his presence. And when this life is done, we're not going to stand on the throne, at the throne room of God. And he's going to say, wow, man, you preached unbelievable. He's not going to say, wow, your worship, your singing, the talent was crazy. That was amazing. He's not going to say, hey, man, your sacrifice and you're giving all the money that you gave to the church, the kingdom of God. Oh, come on in. You know what he's going to say? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. The one with the penny gets the same reward as the one with the million. Because you know what? His grace is so powerful and so beautiful. His love is so amazing Come up here with me just a minute, Cody. When we stand before the Lord, He's not going to look at Cody and say, well, Cody, enter in, son. You were so much better than all the rest. You were better than Matt. So you get in. Yeah. You were better than he was. No, the measure stick that God's going to measure us by, see, hey, the grace I gave you, the love I gave you, the peace I gave you, did you pour that out? Did you give that away? No, Lord, I've been offended. I've been hurt. I didn't give my grace away. I just kept it for myself. That was my grace. Now, did you pour it out? You see, there's a lot of times, thank you, Cody. There's a lot of times we carry around wounds that we don't need to carry around because we don't have grace for others. I tell you, I've been healed a lot of times because I forgave. God wants to carry us. It's such a beautiful presence of God here today. So the last few weeks we've talked about being a faithful, obedient servant. Faithful, obedient servant. Just be faithful. You don't have to be amazing, just be faithful. God's not looking for rock stars. He's looking for faithfulness. And I'm not just talking about showing up at church and punching in on Facebook, I was here. I'm talking about your everyday life of faithfulness. Faithfulness. And every area of your life that God calls you into, faithfulness. Be faithful. Be obedient. Be obedient. Your obedience is better than sacrifice. I have a little girl, she's 10 years old. She's not bad at all. She actually cleans her room and does that stuff probably as good as any we've raised. But she lives in this little hidey world. And I'll say sometimes, Heidi, go do this, or Heidi, go do that. And Papa Bear is a little different than Mama. I only say it a couple times. Then we raise the volume. Probably not the best way, but she knows when Daddy raises the little octave, that means move now. But she'll live in her little world, and I've tried to tell her, Heidi, baby, delayed obedience is disobedience. If Dad tells you or Mom tells you to get up and go do this, I know you're living in your little world and you think, well, it's not that I don't want to do it. It's just that I want to do it on my time. No, it's right now. And oftentimes we miss out on things because we don't respond when God says now. It's the now time. And guess what? This is how cool God is. He's just going to bring you back to that circle again. And because you've disobeyed, you get to go around the mountain again. And then you get back and you're standing at the same place you left and you're saying, God, why am I here? He said, because I told you what to do, but you don't want to do it your way. But I'll just tell you again. In my heart, God, I wanted to do it. But, you know, as one of the guys heard, said that he told his daughter to go clean her room and got back in her room and clean. She said, but Daddy, I cleaned it in my heart. God wants you to do more than just in your heart. He wants you to put your hands to it. He wants you to serve people. He wants you, in my heart, I'm a servant, but what's your hands doing? What's your mouth doing? What's your feet doing? So be obedient to God, to His word and to what He has called you to do. And then be a servant. I don't need to say any more about that. But just serve the Lord and serve Him with joy. Can you stand with me this morning?